We are expecting the September jobs report later this morning. It is not only the last measure of unemployment that we'll get before the midterm elections, but it's also the last one the Federal Reserve gets before they meet in November. And here to kind of sort through the numbers, we've got Louise Story, our finance reporter for the New York Times. And Louise, I want you to take a listen to a couple comments from our listeners. Yesterday, we asked them if they feel like the employment picture is safer or scarier than it was last month.
This is Geronimo calling from Detroit. Well, considering I just lost my job, I would say it's scarier. Eek. I'm online looking for work right now, and I'm going to be hitting the pavement later on today trying to find a job, so it's scary out there.
We also got a text from a listener in Sarasota, Florida that says, safer. I lasted another month, so they must still need me here. And in fact, when you looked at the comments from our listeners, they were half scary, half safe. I'm wondering how close that is to the national picture.
Well, you know, it's actually pretty close, Celeste, because we've got some positive data coming out, but some data that also looks a little negative. So, you know, yesterday we had some positive indicators that show that some thawing in the market, such as claims for unemployment benefits, went down some. And the number of jobs that are open, job openings, went up. So that's a positive trend. Now, of course, there's five people who want jobs for every opening.
Still.
Right. So that's, you know, it's not a lot of jobs for the people who want them, but it did go up. But then today, we're expecting to see the unemployment rate go up, which you would think is a bad thing. So, you know, that kind of it's safer or it's scarier is persisting in the numbers.
Well, we got a text from a listener in Brooklyn who says, I work for a large state agency in New York. Almost 2,000 folks have accepted early retirement packages. Word is, for the most part, those jobs will be filled with junior entry-level staff. That would mean a lot of great new jobs opening up. If that's true, it's a very good sign. And you said there are more job openings, and one of the ways they judge that is by the number of ads that people put out saying, we have a job open. So that's positive.
Well, again, more job openings, good news. But, you know, one thing I have been hearing a lot from a lot of people like this listener is this idea of entry-level jobs, which, remember, that translates to lower-paying jobs. And if you add that up across our entire economy, what it'll mean is a lower-paid workforce, so less money for consumer spending and so on. So, you know, any job opening isn't the same quality as a well-paying, good job opening.
Well, but the thing is that when you have mixed news like this, when it's relatively flat, you can kind of characterize it any way that you want. I mean, someone's going to be able to go into a politician's going to be able to say, look at these positive numbers, and they'll be right. And then someone else will say, look at these negative numbers, and they'll be right.
That's right. But, you know, this unemployment rate, which is supposed to go up today, one thing to understand on it is part of this is people re-entering the workforce. So, you know, when people get discouraged and they stop looking for a job, they're not counted as unemployed anymore. And that's happened a lot in the last couple years. And so part of the reason the unemployment rate is supposed to go up a little is because the line of people standing there looking for a job is getting longer because people are coming back. And so what economists say is you have to add 150,000 jobs a month just to keep the unemployment rate flat. And we're expecting kind of a zero addition of jobs this month. So, of course, it will go up. And even if next month they add, you know, 60,000 jobs, it still could go up because you've got to add so many to fill in for that line that's getting longer.
For the people who are reentering the workforce. Okay, so what does all this mean as the Fed goes into their meeting in November? Well, I mean, how are they going to evaluate this news?
It's pretty widely expected that they are going to do some massive bond buying program to try to help the economy.
It's going to free up credit, right?
To try to free up credit. You know, the bigger picture on this is that the unemployment rate is expected to stay high for a long time. I was reading an economist survey yesterday talking about 2012, you know, when the next presidential election is. And the consensus among economists is that unemployment will still be above 8% then. So we're talking about a very, very slow improvement.
But because things are sort of stalled at this rate, between 8 and like the high 9s, it might go over 10% even. Some have predicted that. Maybe, you know, unemployment isn't the number to look at. Maybe what we're looking at, and Robert Reich was here last month talking about this, this realignment on incomes, that basically the workforce is resetting at a lower personal income rate. And as people come back to the workforce, as you said, when they come back to lower rates, the whole thing slides downward, and that's really the macro issue that economists are looking at and will determine how stock values, real estate values, et cetera, are going to be priced and placed in the next 10 years.
I think that's true. And, you know, there's been a lot of concern about older workers, you know, people above 50 who just aren't finding jobs, may never find jobs again, because we are reshifting to lower, more entry-level jobs. And I think it's a concern for the economy.
All right. Well, I can't let you go without asking about this question about a JPMorgan Chase hiring someone. This woman is locked in the bathroom in fear, calling 911 because she hears an intruder in her house. It turns out that even though her home is not in foreclosure, JPMorgan Chase has hired someone to break into her home and change the locks while she's living there. Does this story surprise you?
Well, you know, it's been happening for a little while. It happened several months ago with Bank of America. But what's going on is banks are on the ground hiring these people, often former real estate agents, to go out and try to take over homes that are behind in payments or foreclose. But as you've seen in the news in recent weeks, there's a lot of mistakes happening because this is kind of a slipshod process and the banks don't have their T's crossed and their I's dotted. And a lot of people are saying they need to do a better job of getting it right.
Well, it's still illegal to break into someone's home when you don't have a court order giving you possession, isn't it?
You know, I don't know all the details on this. It may be different from other ones that have happened, like the Bank of America one, but certainly it sounds like a major concern.
It seems like the dark side of the dishonesty that led to the subprime mortgage crisis, where people were sort of exaggerating on the upside of getting these loans. Now they're withholding information from the banks on houses that they're remaining in foreclosure. It's lying on the way up, lying on the way down.
Well, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a mortgage trader on Wall Street yesterday where I was asking him about what's going on with this foreclosure stuff and all the missed paperwork, and he started talking about the assets. And I'm like, what are you talking about, assets? And then I realized he was talking about people's homes. And this mentality in finance sometimes where you view these as assets, investment things, allows sometimes these companies to separate it from the personal, emotional reality that these are people's homes. And then, you know, sometimes that means they're not as careful as they should be.
Well, maybe the investigation that they're looking into those foreclosure mistakes is going to broaden and to look into actually breaking into people's homes. Louise Story is the finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.